Our purpose for being here this evening, as always, is to focus our attention upon the eternal Word of God. I'm sure that all of us are aware of the fact of how good God is to us. We have been blessed so tremendously. We're saved by God's grace. We're kept by His grace. We're blessed by His grace. We're protected, cared for. And we're here tonight once again to turn our attention to His wonderful, magnificent truths. I trust that all of you in these moments this evening will give full attention to what the Word of God has to say to us. We've learned many years ago that God has given us a system by which we can learn to advance spiritually, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you this evening to take advantage of that which He's provided for us. He's given us a system by which we can know we're in harmony and fellowship. We can receive spiritual fuel for our souls. We spend a moment in prayer before we have our scripture. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity which is ours now, once again, to focus our minds upon God's Word. This is an important time for us, a time for us to give attention to these eternal truths. We thank You for Your blessings and Your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in Your presence, with eternal pleasures at Your right hand. Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in Your presence, with eternal pleasures at Your right hand. Psalm 16:11. Colossians 2:6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught. Colossians 2:6. You have been therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established to the faith as you have been taught. Colossians 2:6. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. Mark 4:19. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Mark 4:19. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Mark 4:19. Ephesians 5:18 is our scripture. Children, would you please stand and go to your class? If you haven't already done it, you're doing it now. Good. We open our Bibles this evening, please, to Ephesians 5:18. This is a verse of Scripture that we've already checked. We're looking at it again this evening. We realize that the Scripture has a lot to say about the importance of the subject of pneumatology. Since we've already had Scripture and we've had our prayer, I want to put on the screen for you to see the word pneumatology. This is an emphasis upon the study in relationship to the Holy Spirit. Pneuma, the word that you see on the screen now, is the word for wind, breeze, breath, breath of God. Over the years, we've given attention to a number of different major subjects. We've called these subjects the study of systematic theology. One of those is Christology, the study of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another one is soteriology, which you see here on the screen, in relationship to the studies of the biblical subjects related to salvation. Also, you see the one we are dealing with this evening, and that is pneumatology, in relationship to the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. We have an emphasis upon the systematic study of ecclesiology, which is a study related to the church. We have the systematic theology, subject matter, eschatology, subject related to the things at the end time. Ephesians 5:18 is a verse of Scripture having to do with pneumatology. On the screen, you see this verse now. Be ye not drunk with wine, in which is wastefulness, but be filled with the Spirit. We spent a little time dealing with the exegetical study of this passage, and we're looking at it again this evening. You will notice that it says that we have the responsibility of not being drunk with wine, wherein is excess or wastefulness. But then the Scripture goes on to say, but be filled with the Spirit. Not to spend a lot of time exegetically on this verse, but let's give a quick overview. As we've said many times over the years, there are negative adverbs in the New Testament. Several of those negative adverbs are what we would classify as very strong negative adverbs. We'll not reiterate all of those again tonight since we've done it so many times. But any time you find one of these strong negative adverbs, it's an emphasis that is very powerful. But here we find a negative adverb that is one that is not as powerful as the other three that we've mentioned over the last weeks and months and years. It is found right here in Ephesians 5:18. And it is the little Greek negative adverb, may. This emphasizes the fact that normally, that negative adverb goes normally with the rest of the sentence and will have in it a verb in the subjunctive mood. The subjunctive mood is probably, all of us know, is a mood of subjectivity. You and I have the responsibility of deciding whether or not we're going to be cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is very powerful here because it gives us the emphasis on the fact that we have the responsibility of deciding whether or not we want to be under the control of the Spirit of God or not. This tells us not to be drunk with wine, wherein is excess. And you'll notice that the verb there says that we're the recipients of that which is controlling us. That's the reason why it is a present passive imperative verb. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. We have the responsibility of being the recipients of the fullness of the Spirit of God. That's the reason why we have here the word pleroo. The last session, we looked at a number of words, 11 in fact, in relationship to that word pleroo. We'll not repeat that tonight, only to point out again the fact that you'll notice here in the last part of Ephesians 5:18, where it says, be filled with the Spirit. This is a command. It's a verb in the imperative mood, which is a command. And then it is a passive voice, which says, that you and I have the responsibility of being the recipients of that power, which is the Spirit of God. We have the responsibility of being the recipients of the leadership and control of the Spirit of God. What is so amazing to me is that the Scripture is powerful in that it presents to us that we have the responsibility of being individuals yielding to the control and the power of the Spirit of God. If you take a look at the timeline, you will discover that there is a period of time known as the Age of the Gentiles. I'll not get into that in detail. A period of time known as the Age of Israel. We discover that Jesus Christ came on the scene during the period known as the Age of Israel. This is known as the Hypostatic Union. Jesus Christ came on the scene. Jesus Christ was on the earth. He came as God's Son, God's in the flesh. He came for the specific purpose of going to the cross and dying on the cross for the sins of the world. Jesus Christ wants all of us to be aware of the fact that while we're here on the earth, that He has for us a specific reason and power, person and purpose for our existence. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, said in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Do you not know that your body is the shrine of the Holy Spirit who is in you, which you have from God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price." What we have in the writings of the Apostle Paul by the Spirit of God in Corinthians is an emphasis upon the fact that believers are to understand that they are to know that the individual body is a shrine, a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason when I look at this verse of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, "Do you not know?" This is a strong negative adverb here. "Do you not know that your body is the shrine, the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, which you have from God?" Notice, if you will, that the word "you have from God" is a present tense. You keep on having from God. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. When I go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, and I would encourage you to write these verses down somewhere, we read there, "You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know." The emphasis here is not that you know everything, but that you have the ability to see from a divine vantage point. That's the reason why in 1 John 2:20, we have these beautiful verbs. "You have an anointing." The Greek word is charisma, C-H-R-I-S-M-A. You have an anointing. You have this anointing from the Holy One. And you have the ability to O-I-D-A in the original language, which simply means that you have the ability to see from a vantage point which is divine. A beautiful perfect tense verb, which emphasizes something that begins, something that exists, something that continues and is continuing as time goes on in a person's life. What is so wonderful is that the Lord has given us the means by which we can advance spiritually. And He wants us to see how wonderful and powerful this is. In preparation for tonight, I thought about a number of different things. I thought about the sustaining ministry of the Holy Spirit. I thought about victory. I thought about what God's plan for us is. I looked at the New Testament and discovered how fantastic the Lord put things together in relationship to His plans for the disciples. When I go to John chapter 14, here's what I read. If you love me, keep my commandments. I want to ask you, if you will, please, to take a look with me at John 14, 15, 16, and following. I notice in the very first word of John 14, 15, if you love me. And I notice here the way that the little if is presented. Over the years, we've presented this time and time again because we've emphasized the various conditional clauses. If and it is true. If it is not true. If maybe it is true, maybe it is not true. If I wish it were true, but it isn't. We've talked about this time and time again. But notice, if you will, here, the little word if. And the way we see the letters explaining how this little if is used is epsilon, alpha, nu. Most of you by now are aware of the fact that this is the word that is used to present a third-class conditional clause. We've said it time and time again. Many, many times we've looked at 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins. It has that third-class conditional clause, if. It emphasizes the fact that we may or may not confess, name, cite our sins and be forgiven. I don't need to go into all the details here again, but I've looked at this many times over the years, and I've noticed that in the way the word is used, it is so fantastic to see how the letters come together. It's a contraction. And so we have epsilon, alpha, nu, which presents the third class conditional clause. You would know me well enough to know that I would enjoy right now explaining all this, but I'll not do it because I want you to see that the word is epsilon, alpha, nu, if you love me. Then it says, my commandments you will keep. The joy and the victory and the happiness that comes to individuals as believers in Jesus Christ when they're cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit and they're victorious and triumphant on a day-by-day basis. That's the fulfillment of this magnificent passage of Scripture. If you love me, my commandments, you will keep. Future, active, indicative, tereo. But when I go to the next verse, John 14, 16, here's what I read. And I will request the Father, and another comforter He will give you. This is an emphasis upon what began to take place at Pentecost and what is taking place in our day, in the age of grace, the church age. Look with me, please, carefully at this verse. And I will request the Father and another comforter He will give you. When I look at this word, another, I notice that it is the Greek word allon, A-L-L-O-N, which is the word which means another of the same kind. Another of the same kind. And I will request the Father and another of the same kind, comforter, He will give to you. Now, let's stop and look at this. Another comforter. What is the word comforter here? You ought to write this one out and look at it and rejoice over it. It's the Greek word P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-O-S. Parakletos. We would say it like this, paraclete. Let's look at it more carefully. The prefix or the preposition para means alongside. The Greek verb kaleo means to call. Putting the two together, it means to call alongside. The paraclete, the Holy Spirit, the one who's called along beside. Does that cause you to rejoice? I will request the Father and another comforter, another the same kind, comforter, he will give to you. Why will all this take place? Continuing in the rest of the verse. That he may be with you unto the age. That's an emphasis upon the indwelling Holy Spirit. Most of us are aware of the fact that with Pentecost, things begin to change. The church age is a fantastic time. We live between Pentecost on the one hand and the rapture of the church on the other hand. We live in a magnificent time, a time where there's an emphasis upon the unique ministry of the Holy Spirit. John 14:17 then. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. You know him, because he dwells in you and shall be in you. Most of you are aware of the fact that one of the wonderful things about studying the Scripture is to take each one of these words and find out how they're used and what they mean. And I got very excited when I looked at these verbs. What I did, I went to each one and I labeled them. 1, 2, 3, 4, right down the line. I'm not going to take the time to do all of this for you tonight. I will show you, though, what I've done. In John 14:17, the first verb is dunatai. It's a present, passive, indicative verb. Let's go back and look at it. I didn't know that I would do all this. I have to. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. There's the verb. Cannot receive. Present tense, continuous action. The world cannot continue to receive this information. Passive voice, subject receives the action, they can't do it. Indicative mood, the mood of reality, it's not real to the people who do not comprehend, do not have it. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Do you see what's being said here? An unsaved individual cannot comprehend or appreciate or enjoy the things of the Spirit of God. The reason why you enjoy it so much is because you understand you are a saved individual. You've been born into God's kingdom. You are no longer a dichotomous body, soul, but you're now a trichotomous body, soul, and spirit individual. Have you heard that before? Yes, many times. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. And I put up verb number one, dunatai, present, passive, indicative, third person singular, they cannot receive. Whom the world cannot receive. Why? Because they cannot see, neither do they know him. Lambano, know, see. I'm not going to go through all this with you. Oh, man, it's so good. Then the Lord said, you know him. You know him. Why do you know him? Because he dwells in you. He dwells in you. And shall be in you. I'm here tonight to talk about the fact that you and I have a responsibility. And this is what I want to emphasize. I started it last Sunday. You and I have a responsibility, and you have to think with me about this. I looked up the word mentor, and I discovered that it emphasizes a wise and trusted person who has an influence on individuals. Young people need to have a mentor. They need to have someone who has the ability to train and to give good advice. One who gives help. One who gives encouragement. One who gives support. I looked up the word mentor, and I revealed a little bit of this last week. The mentor can play a variety of roles in people's lives. A teacher, a friend, an advocate, a Bible teacher, a coach. We all have the responsibility. I think in terms of our church over these many decades and the individuals who've been influenced in our church by teachers, Bible teachers. I read here where researchers have said that they project that 1 in 3 young people will reach adulthood without connecting with a mentor of any kind. And I thought, how sad a statement that is. Researchers have discovered and have come to the conclusion that perhaps 1 out of every 3 young people will reach adulthood without having a mentor of any kind. I put down here Bible teachers. I put down here teachers, parents, mothers, dads. What a responsibility we have. And then I found that there were 5 different things mentioned here about a mentor. A mentor empowers young people to make good choices. We have beautiful, magnificent children, young people in our church, and they're advancing and growing, and it's wonderful to see this. A mentor empowers these precious children and these young people to make positive choices. Number 2, a mentor encourages young people to take ownership in their learning. Be determined that they're going to learn. A mentor helps young people to develop life skills. A mentor helps young people develop core values. A mentor strengthens interpersonal skills and peer relationships. But you know what I discovered? I discovered that the Bible emphasizes the greatest mentorship, and that's the Holy Spirit. Let me move this off the screen and put this down here for you. The Holy Spirit, number 1, definition, as our mentor, describes the ministry of God the Holy Spirit as the word that I just presented, the Parakletos, the one who is called along beside, the helper, the teacher, the counselor of every individual believer. Do you see that? Please notice the definition of mentorship of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit as our mentor, the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, the helper, the teacher, the counselor, the one who's called along beside. The mentorship of the Holy Spirit is our real teacher and the one who gives us ultimate discernment. As I said a few moments ago, the Greek word for anointing is charisma. Charisma means a special endowment of the Holy Spirit. The mentorship of the Holy Spirit is a means of enabling believers to possess knowledge of biblical truths. I can't say that enough. The Holy Spirit is the means of enabling believers to possess knowledge of biblical truths. The prophecy of the mentorship of the Holy Spirit is found in John 14, 15, 16, 17. We've already emphasized, put it down, please. Number three, the indwelling and filling of the Holy Spirit is related to mentorship. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit must be distinguished from the function of the Holy Spirit as a part of your spiritual life. The Holy Spirit indwells the believer's body. We've already looked at that. As a result of this, a temple is created. The indwelling of Christ is guaranteed of a blessing to provide a permanent base for the Holy Spirit's availability as our mentor. God, the Holy Spirit, is our mentor, is our teacher of the truth of God's Word. I said at the very beginning, God has given us a system of learning. We call it the grace system of comprehension. Terminology we've used through the years, the grace system of comprehension. It just simply means that God has given us the means by which we can learn, advance, and grow. It's when we are properly related to the Lord, in fellowship, in harmony, right with God. And when we're right with God, it is then that we have the ability to receive the impartation and dissemination of truth. And we're able then to take that truth and mix it with faith and utilize it and apply it. God the Father gave the church God the Holy Spirit as our mentor. And this is unique to our church age. Our Lord also says that both the Father and the Son sent the Holy Spirit to be available as our mentor. God the Holy Spirit is our mentor, prays for us. This to me is so unique. The Holy Spirit has to pray for us because we don't know how to pray. And often we do not have the necessary information to pray under certain circumstances. I'm sure that you're familiar with a scripture that says there are times when we do not have the ability and know how to pray as we ought, and the Spirit of God communicates with the Father with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is God the Holy Spirit who prays on our behalf. God the Holy Spirit, as our mentor, prays for us. The Holy Spirit has to pray for us often because we don't know how to pray. And often we do not have the necessary information to pray under certain circumstances. I'm amazed when I think in terms of this word Parakletos. The Holy Spirit has a phenomenal prayer ministry for us as believers and comes to our rescue as our mentor. God the Holy Spirit does not help where He is not wanted, except in the time of special need. He is personally interested in helping you out in a prayer situation, even if you do not know what prayer is all about. We usually pray on the basis of our desires rather than using options of prayer and spiritual skills. Our Lord Jesus Christ has been described in the Bible as our great high priest who makes intercession for us at the right hand of the Father. This is beauty presented to us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. Mentorship of God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives means that we are to yield to Him, to be soft and pliable. It means that when this has taken place, we will be pliable. We will be under the filling of the Spirit. We will submit to the will of God. We will follow the commands of God, the exhortations of God, the principles of God. We'll walk in the Spirit. We'll accomplish the things that the Lord wants us to accomplish. God desires that we be happy and radiant and triumphant, victorious believers. There's so much for us to learn. God is wanting us to know that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's the one right there at all times. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful this evening that we realize that You've given us this time on the earth. However brief it may be for a few years, it may be for many years, we do not know, but You've given us some time on this earth. We are Your children, having been born into Your family. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We've been commanded in the Word to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're thankful today for the ministry of the Holy Spirit and that we are Your children and that we have access to everything that You want us to have so that we can live a life of joy and peace and happiness, that we can be triumphant and victorious believers. We're thankful for the fact that You've given us what we need as a mentor, the Spirit of God for our individual lives. And now as we come to the last few seconds of this service, we're aware of the fact that there may be someone listening who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Father, I pray that they will be able to understand that when God loved, He loved the world. That's what the Scripture says. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting eternal life. We're thankful that Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. He said that. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by Me. We really do not know whose ears are hearing these words at this moment. But we pray that it will be more than ears hearing words, but there will be hearts responding to the Spirit of God. Because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, but as many as accept Him, if you have the Son, you have life. If you do not have the Son, you do not have life. We are thankful for the fact that The way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the way of salvation. If you have the Son, you have life. If you do not have the Son, you do not have it. We pray that there will be those who will accept that gift of salvation now. And we thank you over and over again for your wonderful grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.